Thank you. Thank you so much, Bob, for this presentation. And I can't wait to see you back again in Togo, because it looks like you master my country, and we love you back. Thank you for coming and spending time with us. Right to the text. John chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. But let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your renewal grace every day. We come before you, lead us, and bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your bulletin, you can read with me from your bulletin or from your Bible. John chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in my name, in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. The oneness of the church is the title of what I'm going to share with you this morning. I believe that it's not too late to talk about Martin Luther King's legacy or history. I think this is the month of Black History. Great. I think it might be good for another culture perspective to look into the case, into the race struggle in the U.S. and say some thing about it. But please believe me, forgive me if I say something stupid about it. When I was thinking about Martin Luther King's legacy, I was really struggling to say anything, not because I don't want to preach, but because of the weight and the symbolism of that name. Who am I to say anything about this man's vision or battle or even his life? I'm too small to comment or look at your history, your culture, your politics, your social justice, slavery, Black Lives Matter, or the divisions in your society. I'm too small. But you know what? I can still dream. Because of my African context. In my African context, God often uses dreams to speak to us, to reveal himself to us, and to be prophetic about his will in our daily life. Because of that, I will dream this morning. Please keep praying for Togo, because Togo has been in the news a lot this past month. And things are still not settled. Why? Because if you don't know, from 63 up till now, one family is leading the nation. And tribe issues are really the main element of what we face. So those from the south want this guy to leave the power because he's from north. So you know, this is a world phenomenon. Why are we in crisis in Togo? The right answer I can give or think of is because of sin, the effect of injustice and oppression and tribalism in our cities and towns. Because of that, God cannot be silent. Because of that, the Holy Spirit cannot be quiet. Because of injustice, because of all those things we know about, Jesus cannot be silent. Martin Luther King couldn't not be silenced because of what he saw and lived. Because of injustice, you cannot be silent. I mean, you. Till we see justice flow like waters and righteousness like overflowing streams, we cannot be silent. Till we see our cities, walls of division torn down, we cannot be content and be at peace. Because God is at work bringing nations and tribes together in the ministry of reconciliation. Till we see the power of love and compassion at work in our own hearts to care for one another despite race, tribe, ethnic group, nationality, we cannot be happy and thankful. Till we see that. Till we see the kingdom of God at hand in every corner of our land, we cannot take a rest in our faith journey. Brothers and sisters, everywhere on this earth, we face the same problem, the same sin consequences. We are divided. This is a world sickness. Back home, depending on your tribe or your ethnic group, there are things that can benefit you or stand against you. When in 2010, we went back home, I hired a secretary for our ministry. Some people from my tribe were so upset because my secretary was from a different tribe. If you get pulled over by a policeman back home and you from my tribe, Kabia tribe, you can easily negotiate in our tribe language with the policeman and then go. Because the police and the army are ruled and controlled by one tribe, my tribe. I'm not surprised about the police structure and color in America. This is a world sickness. If you are a policeman in this room, I respect you because you have a very difficult job. And church, we gotta be praying for our policemen every day. Visit the history of Rwanda and understand the tragedy of tribalism between Hutus and Tutsis. Thousands and thousands of people died during the genocide in 1994. Visit India and see how it is hard to be accepted when you come from a low status. Ask any South Africans to describe for you the consequences of apartheid regime. Talk with any refugee from Burma, from Nepal, from Sudan. The same virus is destroying every single day lives. We live in a sick world. The sad news is how the church, I mean believers in Christ, I mean you and me, are trapped in this issue of race, tribe, power, control. My church in Togo is in the hand of one particular tribe, though it is a national tribe, a national church. How can God move in such ungodliness? We ought to be different because of the words Jesus gave us, the gospel. And we are not from this world, church. America is not home. We know the word. We know Jesus. And because of that, the world will stand against us. If the world loves you so much and you are so comfortable with the world views, then, my friend, I have serious questions to ask you. The Father sent him in this world. He is sending us with the same mandate. The mandate about the truth about God, about ourselves, the truth about saints and our need for salvation. Truth shall set you free. And yet, how many in our churches are still bound and tied in so many things? The truth shall set you free. Go after them. Go and search for the lost. Go after them. Go after the oppressed and the oppressor. Go after the poor and the rich. Go after the black in jail. Go after the drug addicts. Go after single mom. Go after Republicans and Democrats. Go after the refugees. Go after sinners with the word of God. Not your word, but with the word of God. I'm not asking you to do this. This is your Father mandate. This is God's word for you. Hey, Macklin, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Well, what you just heard. He wants people to be sanctified despite their race, their tribe, how they look, what they do. He wants them to be sanctified by his word. Do not speak the word. Your word. It's not about your word. Do not just say word, but live it out. Live it out in the world. Why? Two things. If you read, I believe, verse 20 to 21, why we do that? I pray not only for this, verse 20, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so the world may believe you sent me. Here's the reason. 2 points, very quick. We are all one body. Black, white, African, European, Asian, rich, poor. In Christ, we are one. Jesus prayed for it. He prayed for it. Think about that. And God always answers Jesus' prayers. He prayed for it. Before God, there is no African church. There is no American church, black church, Asian church, Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran, Assembly of God, or any other church, name it. There's one body. How far are we in line with those words of Jesus? I'm not suggesting that we should be all in one room and be the body of Christ. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We can be in the same room and not be together, church. Husband and wife can be under the same roof and be far off from one another. Husband knows what I'm talking about, and wife knows that. We are all called to be bound in love with one another. Do we love people who are not like us? Are they welcome in our lives? What does Jesus mean by the Father is in me and me in the Father? How open are we with other people who are not like us? I am in the Father and the Father is in me. How are we open with other people? Black or white? How quick are we in our prejudice toward those who are not like us? King Saul, the brokenness of our society, and dreamed about his kids. And I want us to dream the same dream of Martin Luther King. He said, I have a dream that one day that my four little children will not one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by their content, by the content of their character. How welcome are they who look different, who cannot meet our standard of lifestyle? How welcome in our life are people with limitations, disabilities? How welcome are they to allow somebody to be in your life is a huge decision and very complex. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. And we can do it because we have the Spirit. The second reason, the world may believe that Jesus is sent by his Father. Missions and evangelism right here in the text. Are we surprised why unbelievers are no more attracted by the gospel? By the church? It's in the text. Are we surprised? Unbelievers and church people struggle to understand what is going on among Christians. If we worship the same God, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, something must be wrong somewhere. They don't get it. They say they worship the same God, but they are so divided. Martin Luther King, finally, in his last speech, said, well, I don't know what will happen now. We have got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like any man, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And allow me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you tonight that we as people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I don't know about you, but for me, The coming of the Lord cannot be seen outside the beauty of the church. It's coming. It's coming back to take the church that he loves and died for. His body is coming for one body, his bride. Have you ever seen a bride on her wedding day dirty? Have you seen that? Have you seen a dirt clothes, dirty clothes on her? And he's coming for her. Jesus is preparing his church for that day. He's taking off all the dirty spots, ungodliness, evil, injustice, racism, tribalism in the church. I'm talking about the church. Are you willing to be part of the preparation of that future historical event? Do not wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for tomorrow. It is now. Now, in your heart. Let us make room for this King, for this Jesus. Let us make room for Jesus' friend across the globe, because he has friends in every single nation, every single tribe. He has friends. Let's make room for them in our heart. We can do it. We can do it. Why? Because Jesus prayed about it. He prayed, Lord, let them be one. Jesus' prayers always get God's attention, and he will respond. Are you in line with it? Are you willing to enter? Do you want to also pray like Jesus? I want you, please, to set apart, to set aside all the little things that are going on in your life and have Christ's mind to pray for his church, to pray for his body. And Jesus, we need you. Help me. Jesus, help you. And let us come and surrender our life to our King who is coming back. Amen.